I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Once again, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Over the years, we've all probably read about the growing trend of hot desking, which seems to be sweeping the office scene. Would you mind explaining exactly what that entails?
Well, the trend probably started in the early 1990s, shortly after the property crash, and it involved some of the larger business services firms, the ones that employ knowledge workers around Australia, and was driven, I guess, by the desire to reduce costs by reducing the amount of office space that people used. And they felt if they could not have a designated desk for each person and therefore, as it used to be, a separate office, then that would provide cost savings to the firm and improve efficiency because people were now interrelating with one another. So in essence, that was the background and the effect of hot desking.
How widely has this form of office layout been adopted?
Well, it's been pretty widely adopted, as I said, by the business services firms. And we're talking here accountants, lawyers, architects, real estate agents, all those ones that tend to employ a lot of people and quite often inexpensive office space, CBD based or close to the city, but they rely upon a lot of people involved to provide the services to their clients, and those employees, they felt needed to interact more. And I guess the current rationale contends that by replacing individual offices with workstations, and in some cases even removing the dividers, this significantly reduces the space requirement per employee. And at the same time, the aim was to improve staff collaboration so that they didn't all just disappear into their own offices and not interact with each other. And now what we're finding is that many of these firms are just simply issuing their staff with a mobile phone, a laptop, and a locker, and effectively adopting a virtual office or clean desk policy where you as an employee have no fixed location within the office or the building that you work in from one day to the next. So you literally clear your desk at night, put everything in your locker, go home and come back the next morning, open your locker, and then you find the closest desk or most appropriate. And they generally have breakout areas with couches and bars with stools where they can gather around and interact with one another, but literally they're free agent, as it were, within the building and with no fixed abode. So that's the thinking behind it and how it all comes together so that, as I said, the savings, as you can imagine, if you've got to allow an office of, you know, even a minimum of sort of 3 metres square for every person, you know, and generally the offices are bigger than that, they're more like five metres. But what happens then is that the footprint for a tenant shrinks considerably. And there were savings, I think, in some cases NAB gone down, I'm talking in Melbourne and Docklands, and they've decanted all their admin staff out of the CBD city offices. They've just taken a second building down there. And it's very much a collegiate style environment, voids, atriums, breakout areas. it's certainly not the traditional office format, and the belief is that that will lead to greater interaction, therefore greater productivity, and certainly cost savings because the people that they employed just don't need as much space. And some of it's related to, I mean, accountants did this for a long time, particularly with their audit division, where they were out in other clients' offices most of the time doing the audit. So therefore, they didn't need a designated desk within head office because they were, you know, based 3-4 sometimes a week out in the clients' offices. So when they came back, they would just take a desk that someone else had been using but was now out in the field themselves. So I probably started with the accountants and then flowed through into the other professional firms. And, you know, the results, apparently, or they believe, have been first class, but I'm not sure that's the case.
Does this mean the future for offices as an investment is looking rather bleak?
Well, no, I don't think it does. And contrary to what a lot of these employers have convinced themselves of, and that is the cost savings are really what they're after is the bottom line impact on their cash flow. But they have the fond belief that it's improving productivity. But there was a survey done by probably the largest office design firm in the US called Gensler. And they researched about 90,000 people over 155 companies across 10 different industries. So it's pretty widespread. Now, the results, and I think it was Diane Hoskins who conducted it, and she found that knowledge work comprised of 4 separate functions. The first one is focus, and that's where involves individual work where you need concentration and attention to a particular task. Then there was collaboration, which is the working with others to achieve a goal. And this is the main focus of these firms that have done this, that they feel that's going to improve the interaction and better outcomes. The third function of knowledge work is learning, and that's acquiring knowledge or a skill through education and or experience. And finally, there is socializing, which is interactions to create trust, bonds, values, collective identity, and productive relationships. Now, the interesting thing is that what they discovered was that collaboration was not the most significant factor in workplace effectiveness. Rather, it was individual focus. And if you think about it, that's probably right. I mean, ultimately, you have to get the job done. I mean, interaction's fine, collaboration's fine, but at some point you have to sit down, write the report, prepare the analysis, and as I said, just finalise the task. And what they found was that this new style of office, this hot desking, open office layout, actually makes focus virtually impossible. And instead, workers were experiencing constant interruptions. They had sound and visual distractions, which all combined to make focus in the modern office really the most compromised style as far as I said, getting the job done, actually producing results. Now, as I said, this study was not done lightly, and it covered a wide range of industries and people involved. And their assessment is, and they are in the business of office design, so if anything, they're the ones that ought to be promoting the new layout. But what they're finding is the new layout, in fact, is counterproductive. It's not achieving the end goals that is ultimately set out to do. And what many have of these employers have convinced themselves it will ultimately achieve.
So, that sounds rather encouraging then.
Yeah, look, I think it's great news for commercial property investors. You see, whereas this current office fad in office design actually sought to improve collaboration, what they now found is that it actually sacrifices individual focus. And in doing so, it ultimately reduces the workers' efficiency, resulting in far lower productivity overall. Now, that isn't what these major firms and the consultants that convinced them that that's the way they ought to go would like to hear. And I suspect there's going to be a few bruised egos, and for some of these corporate executives, it's going to be very difficult to announce to shareholders that, you know, we blundered, we've made a mistake. It's just, you know, we headed down this path and in actual fact, yeah, we made some bottom line savings, but gee, our output has suffered or hasn't grown as we'd anticipated. But I mean, the interesting thing is that this research, if you read a bit deeper into it, also found that workers who can focus effectively, 57% more able to collaborate, which is what they're wanting them to do, but focus is the key. They're 88% more able to learn and 42% more able to socialise in the workplace. And that's by comparison to their colleagues who are unable to focus. So there are some firms that in actual fact haven't gone down this path. I mean, you don't necessarily jump on a fad just because it's the latest thing and you're convinced by someone that that's the way you should go. So they've been able to make the comparison between those firms that have been early adopters of this new office layout and compared the output based upon the continued focus that someone in a traditional office layout has still been able to observe and bring to the table as far as their productive output is concerned. And when you make the comparison, as I said, that's extraordinary, that being able to focus means that you are 57% more able to collaborate, whereas they've gone the other way and said, look, let's have them collaborate and obviously then the output will be better. But that's not the case. So I suspect that as the penny starts to drop, there's going to be more and more firms that will begin to revert back to a more conventional, larger office layout. Now, we won't necessarily go back to everyone having their own individual office, but I suspect there's going to be clear divisions within the office where people can get away from the hubbub and the noise and the movement of people and isolate themselves for the time that they require to actually process the work that's being expected of them. So it's going to be an interesting period over the next 4 or 5 years. And what I see happening is that as the requirement for additional space takes place, instead of just moving what they have currently got by way of allocation of area per employee, when they relocate, they will actually require more office space. So not only will the firm grow and have to move, but when it moves, its proportionate requirement of space will actually accelerate, I believe, over the next 3 to 4 years. Whereas over the past 10 years, yes, it's moved and grown, but it hasn't taken as much space as you would anticipate given the number of people because they have opted for this hot desking format. So I believe that you're going to see a resultant increase in both rentals and capital values as people suddenly realise that it was false economy and the results simply aren't there. And as I said, it's going to be a hard pill to swallow for a lot of executives. I mean, you try these things, they don't work, you have to revert back. But, you know, the commercial property market, the office market we're talking about, and it's principally the CBD, but it flows out into the suburban office areas, it is basically a solid growing market over time. And sure, these fads will come and go, but the underlying reality is that to get productive workers, they have to be able to, as I said, isolate themselves. And yes, they have to collaborate, but ultimately they have a task to perform, and you cannot do that with distraction. Now, I know a lot of the Gen Y growing up, you know, have earphones in their ears and listening to music and so forth. But once you get into the corporate world, when you have a job to do, you have to be totally focused. You can't be multitasking or have the distractions. And therefore, as I said, going forward, I believe you're going to see a trend back to the more traditional type of office layout, not entirely going back to where we were, but certainly moving away from this absolute hot desking and just open range office layout that has currently become the fad. And that's basically what it is, a fad. And the research has produced the outcome to demonstrate that. So, no, I don't have any concerns about the office market as far as a commercial investor is concerned. In fact, I'm very confident that it's going to look healthier and healthier in every year that passes over the next 3 to 5 years.
You've often mentioned the need of keeping abreast of emerging trends, and I guess this is a prime example. Look, thanks for this invaluable insight, Chris.
I'm more than happy to share it with you.